Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and to get to be with you this evening. Vivian and I are sort of recently returned from living in Colombia for more or less 42 years. We first went down as part of a short-term team with what was then called Literature Crusades, and the Lord continued to open doors for us to be able to be involved in what he's doing there in Colombia. And so we recently returned to the States and have rented an apartment in Wilmington. We're back where we started from, and trying to fit in again to life here in the U.S., which is for us is not very easy. But the Lord has given grace. And at the same time, we're within a week from today, we'll be going back down to Colombia for 2 to 3 months to visit and to encourage, to even see what more the Lord might have us involved in the work in Colombia. So we're in a lot of transition. We need a lot of prayer, a lot of direction, a lot of wisdom as we go our way. I wanted to share just a couple verses with you before I get started. I'm going to mainly show sort of slides and talk about people, but I wanted just to share a couple of verses related to what I'm going to be looking at. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." And that's the wonderful opportunity that all of us have, is the tremendous power of the gospel, as Paul would say. He's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation to all who would believe. And so the wonderful opportunity we have then is to get the gospel out so that others can put their faith in what God says. And as it says in Romans, how, you know, if they haven't heard, no one goes and preaches, how will they believe? And so I want to encourage all of us to make those steps of faith. There's another something I wanted to look at in Matthew chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Behold," in the last part of verse 3 says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and destroyed and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." One of the interesting things about this passage is that the seed is the same all the time. It's the word of God. It's what it's compared to later on. And the seed is one, but the soil, where it lands or where it falls, is different. And how it's what effect it will have depends on the soil. And the last portion I'd like to look at is in 1 Corinthians 3:5-8. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Maybe that's all I'll share there. So we've been doing a lot of sowing in Colombia, and we're often surprised how to see fruit sometimes where we don't expect it at all, and often almost where you don't expect it at all. So I just want to emphasize, you know, the things that God has been doing, and the, to me, it's sort of like the mysterious ways he works. Vivian and I were part of the, let me see if I can get to where I'm supposed to be here, the Wilmington Bible Chapel. This is a little before that in Siler City when we got married in 1970. And 2 years later, we moved down to Wilmington, and the little group down there was just getting started. And after being there 2 years, they decided to send us out as part of this short-term team, and we went to Cartagena in Colombia, South America. And so here is a going-away party where I was working for the Department of Social Services there in Wilmington, and they were seeing me off. And on our way, we went up to Chicago and Literature Crusades, where we got some training. There were about five different teams that were being trained at that time, way back in, this is about 1974. And we were getting ready to, preparing to go to Colombia. I don't know if you can tell who we are. Can you tell who we are? There on the right, the second from the top, that's Vivian and I. And so our team that was preparing to go for Colombia, we lived together in one of the houses they had there at Literature Crusades, and we studied, and we went out and did evangelism, and doing things to learn to work together and to learn how to communicate more and more the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so this was our little group that went down to Colombia, to Cartagena. Cartagena is a coastal city, so we're flying down. And we got down there, and we got off the plane, and we had a big surprise. The way they spoke Spanish was nothing like anything we'd ever heard before, and couldn't hardly communicate at all. Of course, we didn't know much anyway, but it was worse than we thought it would be. One of the things I want to try to communicate tonight is steps of faith, simple faith. God does way beyond what anyone would ever think you could be done with a simple step of faith. And so here we were amongst all these people. We get up there and sing songs that we just sort of memorized and didn't really even know half of what we were even saying right at the beginning. And people would come around. Of course, we went down to work with a missionary who had been in Colombia and knew the Spanish. And we were the people helping out to draw crowds and get people to come and listen to the word. And we would sometimes get a group of people together like that, and they'd show some interest, and we'd march down just a couple, half a block to where we had a meeting place in the second floor here, and invite them in, and that's where a little group started. So that was our first exposure to sharing the gospel. We began to see some people get saved, and began to try to disciple people. Here, Vivian with one of the women that she was discipling, a little women's group here that met in our apartment. Young man that came through for the Lord, and it's exciting. Of course, getting used to doing things in a different way on the mission field. Nothing too strenuous, too terrible, but it was different. But the person that the Lord brought close to us, first of all, was this guy named Carlos. He was a neighbor, and he would start coming around. He was a school teacher, and he would come around and be friendly and ask questions and things. And so we began to try to share with him and in our broken Spanish. And he began to get curious, began to read the Bible. But the one thing, you know, I could say to him was Dios te ama. God loves you. And that doesn't sound too earth-shattering, but years later, when he would give his testimony, he said, you know, no one had ever told me that God loved me. It just wasn't even something that came into his mind. And so simple little things that you know, a little three-year-old could have told him, we were able to share. And he began to come around and began to receive teaching. And the main missionary there, Leroy Burney, would give teaching classes and preparing people to serve. And it wasn't long until with Carlos and a few others, we started going out to a neighboring town away from Cartagena, sharing the gospel as well. And we saw a little group of Christians start up there in this little town. I thought I'd taken that one out, but there's bygone times. But what's exciting is that Carlos, even after we left, after our 2 years there, he continued to visit that town, and there's now a Christian assembly there going on. But here, the real testimony is what God did in Carlos and his family. Carlos, this is Carlos again, a few years later. And that's one of the exciting things for time to go by and to be able to see how God has worked and see what he does in people's lives. And so Carlos, here, he has started at least three different works in different outlying towns. And when we visited on this occasion, he had a meeting going on in his house, even though he was struggling with cancer and going through some real struggles. But his desire was to serve the Lord. His sons are going on for the Lord. And we praise God for what he did through Carlos and through his word, which is powerful. Now, after being there in Cartagena, we came back to the U.S., didn't know what was going to happen. We'd been on 2 years. We went away to what was then Columbia Bible College down in South Carolina for a little bit to get some more Bible training. And then our assembly in Wilmington again said, we want you to go back. And we had a good visa that if we didn't get back within a year's time, we'd lose. And so we only got to go one semester in our studies there, and off we went hurrying back to Columbia to take advantage of our visa. We went to the city of Tunja and worked with another missionary couple, Bill and Doris Morris, and their family. And then it wasn't too long sharing the word with other people that this guy who was involved in, he's actually involved in Campus Crusade and came around and began to come to the assembly and appreciate grace more and other teachings from the word and began to work along with us. And so he ended up being a real asset to the work there in Tunja. Now, what I'm talking about, this family here to me would not have been what you'd think would be the exemplary family for full-time workers and people that you're really expected to see. You see, I think this is more part just the family. The guy on the left is the brother, but the man standing next to him, you can see how happy he is. This was the day of his baptism. And he's a guy that grew up on a farm and works in construction. And his those two guys there, the two kids, work in construction with him. And a lot more of the family. They had nine children eight of them have come to know the Lord. But you just don't maybe think of real potential there. People that, aren't very educated, just sort of a little bit more than able to read and things like that. But it's exciting what God has done. This family came to the Lord. And, so the guy that was there on the right, this is he a little bit later. He got married and is in full-time Christian work. Was doing a work in a town quite a ways from Tunja, and he was also the person that was mainly involved in the building of the camp there, leading the building of the camp in Villaleva, something that's still going on today. So we praise God for them, and they had a going away party for us a few months ago before we came back, and so here's that same family that's and now they have children that are in college, but they continue to serve the Lord. That's the kind of fruit that you really praise God for, to see how people going on. And now one of the other brothers, another one that was part of that family, has a work in another town where they have he's involved in full-time Christian ministry. And this girl here was one of the ones in that picture of that family, and she ended up being quite helpful in us, and when we went from Tunja up to another city of Duitama and was involved in helping us start the new work. And even today, she's married to one of the elders there in Tunja and is being used of the Lord. So things that you might not expect. God certainly can work, go far beyond. In that same family, there's another girl that her husband is, as well as one of the main leaders in that work there in Tunha. While we were in Tunha, we had some North American girls come to visit us, and they came down for the summer, and they were supposed to be learning Spanish and making contacts helping us in our reaching out and going to camps with us and doing things, just helping out any way they could. And one of the things, and we told them, you know, you need to focus on people, you know, on the Colombians and this. Well, one day, the two of them came home with this guy here on the right, and you know, sort of say, okay, what's this? He's a North American, and he was visiting there in the town we were living in, and they brought him home, and it turned out that he's a North American, of course, spoke English, but he was visiting his grandparents that live there in Tunja. And so they brought him around, and it turned out he didn't know the Lord. He was very sort of like positive toward the things of the Lord. And we had a chance for a couple of weeks just to invest in him and share with him. And, well, the reason I bring him up now is that he's been a missionary for Wycliffe for like 10 or 15 years, or maybe longer than that. And it's exciting that they're still going on. You know, things that, you know, here I was upset when I saw them bringing someone home that wasn't Colombian, or, you know, that I wasn't real upset, but, you know, it just wasn't what I was expecting. Isn't it wonderful God does things that we're not expecting? It's certainly the way he does. And while we were there in Tunja, somebody we met was an old guy named Carlos. I don't know if we've ever shared anything about Carlos with you all in times past, but Carlos is sort of special in that he was a crippled guy. He had one leg that was bent at the knee, and he couldn't stretch it out, and he couldn't put any weight on it, so he walked with his crutch, and probably was expected to live his life, you know, begging and getting income that way and stuff. But he came around, and it turned out that wasn't any kind of an attitude he had. He came around and was interested in being involved and getting to know things of the Lord. You can see this magazine he has, the great heroes of the Bible. And he's reading there, and he ended up making a profession of faith. And over time, he began to even go with us on some of our mission trips. We every once in a while would go out to outlying areas, even when we lived in Tunja, and sometimes Carlos would come along to help out. But where he was really a help was when we ended up going to the next town, was of Duitama. But this is, you know, we take a generator along out to these outlying areas where some places where no electricity, and so you get crowds that come in, something, you know, they didn't get to see every day, and show a Christian movie and share the gospel and sow the seed. Well, it's been a number of years again with Carlos, and we had lost contact with him. You know, when he went into, we were able to help him get an operation, and his leg got straightened out, and he was doing a lot better. But when he got into high school, he just sort of faded away. We didn't see him any longer, and didn't know what was going to happen with him. But it wasn't all that long ago we got up with him, and he's still involved in going to church, and his wife and his daughter was graduating from college on this occasion, and he was so glad to see us and invite us to come to her graduation, to this dinner they were having and to celebrate with him on that day. So one of the people I hope to visit some when we go back is to share some more with Carlos and invest some in him there in Tunja. Now we went from living high up in the mountains that we're in Tunja, which is like 3 hours from Bogota in the mountains, the same, like a long mountain valley or something, you could almost call it that, or long mountain range there. It's about the same altitude. And then Duitama is another 45 minutes away. And one day I got to know a family there when I was trying to evade they'd thrown tax out on the roads to try to stop everybody from traveling because they were having a strike where they didn't want, you know, like, so they didn't want any buses or any cars or anybody going anywhere. So I had to go somewhere, and I tried to get there, and I didn't. And I ran into this guy, the man on the left, in the same gas station getting his tire fixed that I was getting my flat tire fixed, and got to know him, and he invited us over. And we got to, he invited us to Duitama, and that's where God started doing something new. And so I'm not going to talk about all the things that go on, but this little girl here on the left, that she's someone that you'll see in a number of pictures. And her family had tremendous problems. And, the parents never, the man, well, there's all kinds of details you could go into. But anyway, and she actually, as a teenager, ended up hating her father and all kinds of real problems. But today, she's in full-time Christian work. God doing things that you, again, probably wouldn't expect. So going door to door, one of the people we ran into with Carlos, that little guy with his crutch, was his family who they got saved and went on there. The early days there in Duitama, we met in our home. And, see the little guy there on the table? He today is a mechanical electrical engineer, and God is still working in his life and using. We'll talk about Diego sometime. And then another guy Diego's now living down in Yopal where we were last ministering and working. And someone else is down there. Is this little guy that's crying there in this picture. He's sort of grown up too. Whoops, thought I had a picture here of, maybe I don't. No, I don't. Anyway, he's sort of grown up too and married and living in Yopal. He's now an accountant. So, how important it is to invest in kids and children. And so we praise the Lord for what he has done now. One of the reasons, of course, that Diego went on is because of his mother here, the woman on the left, Julie, who got saved out of a life of basically a prostitution and started going on for the Lord. Never looked back. A change. And she became a tremendous worker. She is a tremendous worker even today, serving the Lord. And we praise God for her. And so her son had quite an influence in his life by a godly mother. There in Duitama, where we were, we went to a lot of different places to meet. We were meeting in the top floor of a place sort of a department store. On the top floor, they had an apartment up there where we were having our meetings. Had some of our first baptisms there in one of these portable tanks that you can. It was pretty rough because Duitama is up in the mountains high, 8,000 feet, and it's cold all the time, and so we couldn't get the water very warm for the baptisms. It was pretty quick, in and out. Some of those early people that we were working with there, all kinds of different efforts made in reaching out. Here we're putting up a tent to have an evangelistic meeting, a Colombian who came, evangelist who came to preach and to share the word. We had like a whole week of meetings. Sometimes we go to a school and show a movie at just one of the schools in town. In this case, we got in through a Christian teacher, one of the women in our meeting that was able to have us show Christian films there in her school. And then we'd even have a coffee house an evening where we would have a dinner and Christian music and people giving testimony and sharing the gospel in that way as well. As the group began to grow, one of the places that we ended up running was this used car lot. That's what that actually is, or that's what it was before we took it. And we made this structure to put a tent up on that open area out in front. So that was what it looked like more or less when we got that up and started having meetings there. And the group grew there. We were in in Duitama for 25 years. That was the longest place that we were in one, that we were. Vivian and her Sunday school class and some of these same people that we've already looked at some. Then our next step, if I'm not mistaken, was to, one of the believers had a kindergarten in her home and had a big area. You can see here this grassy area and a little carport there and stuff where she would work with her children in the part that was out when they were having recreation. And she allowed us to put our tent up there. So here we are tearing up her place and hopefully doing something constructive. And but here's Diego again. Remember Diego was sitting on the table? He's quite an important person. And the three boys on the right are the sons of the owners of this lot. And then the guy on the left is another young man. So after we got that finished getting it ready, it's a good place to have meetings. Didn't cost as much. The group growing. One of our evangelism explosion groups. We found that to be a very encouraging way to have a continuing type of evangelism in the local meeting. So see that little guy in the sweater there, the white sweater. Yeah, a lot of people have sweaters on. I'm sorry, and the white in the middle. He now is living in Duitama, and he recently got married. And you know, he's not had a strong walk with the Lord, but he and his wife-to-be started coming out to meetings, and she got saved, and they are going on for the Lord. In fact, regularly now involved in the meeting there in Yopal, where we last were ministering. So there's those three brothers again, and I'd like you to really pray for them. The only one that I think at the moment is doing anything serious with the Lord is the guy in the middle at down Yopal. Wilson, the guy on the right, I guess it's probably sort of say is just basically away from the Lord, at least not, yeah, just away, just living his own life with, and his other brother there as well. So those are people that are on my heart and that I desire to see the Lord touch. I'm hoping to make some contact with both of those guys that aren't going on. So we invested a lot in young people during those days, and a lot of these young guys are going on one way or another, and some of them aren't. And here's this girl, Patricia, that I told you ended up hating her father, that is now in full-time Christian work. You know, she was there part of the meeting. And she went off to Bogota to go to college. And while she was in Bogota, she completely got away from the Lord, got pregnant, and ended up coming back, brought this guy back. This is quite a bit after that, but brought this guy back and her guy she was living with. And she was all, you know, repentant, sort of like in her heart and upset and things. And still had all this terrible stuff going on in her heart toward her father. And so, you know, the man, Daniel, who at that point was, he wasn't, you know, he was concerned about his companion or his wife and all the frustration in her life. Anyway, he brought her around to us to see if we could maybe help her. And he ended up getting saved. And today that couple is another couple that's serving the Lord full time in the camp work ministry down in Villaleva. So that's a little bit closer, except, you know, the girl there on the right is now in college, so there's not a real recent picture of them either. But anyway, praise the Lord for the way he worked in their lives. Yeah. Sorry about this. These are extra pictures. Now, in Colombia, in some of the people that we've worked with, you'll find a number of people where their second name might be Eduardo, or it's like Edward. My first name is, or my middle name is Edward. So some of the in the believers named their, you know, their one of their sons after me. And this guy here in the little one on the right is Daniel Eduardo, and so as he grew up in the assembly there in Duitama, and here he's in his wedding, but the exciting thing with him is that there's a lot of people, especially at this wedding, because he's been involved in new tribes and is studying there. In fact, both of them are studying there. That's where he met his wife, and preparing to be missionaries, and so a lot of the professors and different people from new tribes came to the wedding there. This is at our camp, and we praise the Lord for them. And we recently got word that that's this couple again, that she's now pregnant, and it might change some of their plans and things that they're thinking about. But Danielle and Carolina. Okay. This guy's name is Victor. And Victor came into the assembly in Duitama. Didn't know who his father was. A lot of problems in his life. Went to camp with us. We sometimes have things almost out of control at camp. But I guess it left a lasting impression. And anyway, he has gone on for the Lord. And, you know, his life was terrible. You know, we saw him first a little while, and then he was gone. And he learned to be a stylist, hairstyling, and has his own business in teaching. He has probably 30, 40, I don't know how many students there, maybe more than that. And he even goes to other, he's even gone to other countries giving lectures on hairstyling. But you know, he was unfaithful to his wife. You know, they didn't get married. You know, all these children were born before they ever got married, and but some way, you know, he married got involved with a woman that supposedly was a Christian, and anyway, they're going on for the Lord today, and we praise the Lord for them. So we never know what God's going to end up doing. Here's Diego again, and then the last picture of him and his marriage down there in Yopal. The reason that some of these people come to Yopal is because Yopal is on the is a city right on the border of the Llanos, the Great Plains of Colombia, where they're finding all kinds of oil. I mean, there's a lot of oil exploration going on, and a lot of oil wells, and he's hired by one of the main oil companies as an engineer, and so that's why he's in Yopal, and there's a lot of work going on there. So that's been a blessing to our assembly there to have this kind of help. Okay, we got to do a lot of stuff in 5 minutes here. Vivian, working with children, and this was a Christmas party. And the little guy there on the left at the bottom, I want to talk about him a little bit. I hope you can get into this kind of stuff. But at this Christmas party, his parents gave him a guitar. And he was as happy as can be. And this is the same night, I believe. And but, you know, he learned to play the guitar. By the time he was, I think, I don't know what he was, but like 10 or something, he started playing along in the music group. But that's not what's exciting. He's gone on for the Lord. And here he is, just a little bit older, but... And so he's a little bit older, of course. But can you see the guy with the guitar? That's him. And the guy next to him is Sam Killings. I don't know if you know who Sam Killings is. Brian Killings has been a missionary in Colombia for about 40 years, and this is his son Sam that, I don't know if he's even born in Colombia, maybe. The one just right next to him on the left there. And but in this situation here, what are they doing? These are refugees from Venezuela seeking a place to live in Colombia because they can't even get food in Venezuela. There's all kinds of people pouring into Colombia, so they're reaching out. This is actually part of a hotel here where they're having a little meeting with these are all, as far as I understand, are all Venezuelans. And so the guy I haven't even given you his name yet, Juanes, he's been involved in that work and other things. He desires to serve the Lord and praise the Lord for people like him. Now, something to me that's very interesting about him is that he loves sports. He loves basketball. He doesn't only love it, he's good at it. But at the same time, something that's obvious in his life is that he loves Jesus a lot more. And he's been all over. He gets involved in a lot of ministries in Colombia, in Bogota, in different places. He's almost always along with Sam Killings. That's him just above him there in this picture. And here I think he's probably in the States. He's been involved in camps here. In fact, we showed some of these pictures to our group in Wilmington, and somebody there in the group says, "Oh, we met him at camp the other not too long ago." He speaks pretty good English. So praise God for Juanes. Now, he's also part of a group there that started near Bogota. It has been starting a new outreach in one of the neighborhoods there. Bill Loudon Jr. on the right and Sam Killings are the two missionaries, and these are some of their helpers in starting a new outreach along with Juanes. So I think I'm going to probably have to stop. Maybe I can just go the last things. Let me see if I can just go to something at the very last I might want to show you just for prayer. Oh, me. I don't know if you're aware of or have heard about our work in Colombia very much, but the church there, after we'd left, at some point a couple of years later, had quite a number of splits. I mean, the whole thing sort of went different ways. And this is one of the groups that's led by this man, and interesting with him, when the whole group was together, you know, he was knowledgeable of the word, but he never, like in the Lord's Supper or other times, he couldn't hardly participate. But now he's leading one of these groups that meets still in that same tent. Very cold. This is out, just about outdoors. You can see everybody with jackets on and stuff, but they're praising the Lord going on. Another of the groups that's going on is this group here. You can see they're not large groups. And Armando is, and Lena are the ones that are going on with them. Been faithful workers or servants of the Lord. He supports himself by painting pictures. And here in this picture here, let me see if we can get it so it's bigger. He's back in the back. Do you see somebody with a hat on the back that has something over his mouth? He recently had something happen to him where his face, he got paralyzed and sort of turned to one side. And so he's going through some really tremendous testing trials. You can see in the picture, if you could, he has a patch over one eye because his eye is affected by it. And I'm sure he's very self-conscious, and So would you pray for Armando? That's what his name is. He's one of the people I'd like you to pray for, that he's continuing this work, and so it'd be good to pray for him. Let me see if there's anything else. Last things that... Okay, I can't give so many details, but just can't do it. So someone else you could pray for is a girl named Mafe. That's short for Maria Fernanda. She is now just starting at New Tribes. She's from the Yopala Assembly, and we praise God for her, praise God for the faith that the leaders and the assembly has had to actually encourage her to go and tell her that they'll participate some in helping her be able to be there at the New Tribes training. So she desires to serve the Lord there as well. So thank you for this opportunity to give you a little bit of an idea of some of the things we've been involved in and what we're going back to, because we'll be visiting the different groups. There's at least three different groups going on, or three cities. There's Tunhan, there's Duitama, and there's Yopal. We'll be visiting there and maybe doing some other things, some outreach as well. So the Lord would lead us and give us grace in encouraging the believers. I don't know if there might be a question or two that I could answer. Yes, sir.
You mentioned a lot of people from the different types of way, like I mentioned, why one of the president of Colombia is in the States, and he's the president of South Carolina. Are the problems in Venezuela really the Uber to Colombia called the wrong for the group of things?
So far, I don't think so. The maybe the biggest impact that I know of so far is that all these people coming in and looking for work are taking jobs away, making it maybe harder for some people to find work than before. But the government is all I've heard so far. They are allowing Venezuelans to come in. It's not something secret, or they're allowed to come in, So it's a real opportunity for Christian groups to reach out to them and see people saved. Even the work there in Yopal has done a little bit of outreach towards Venezuelans. Good, that was a good question. Anything else I could clarify? Yes, sir. Well, it's a lot cheaper to live in Colombia, a whole lot cheaper. At least a third or something of the cost. Housing's cheaper, food's a lot cheaper. You can go out to eat there and spend maybe a couple dollars or something instead of what you spend here, and get good food. Now gas might be pretty similar to what it is here. It's considered it's costly according to their standard of living. Yes, sir. They're losing ground. Maybe that'd be the best way to express things. When we first went to Tunja, if we went out in the street and had a street meeting, showed a film in a neighborhood or something, we could easily get threatened that we'd be stoned or things like that. There was a lot of control. The government, when we first went to Colombia, the Catholic Church was actually the official church of the state. It was part of the state. But they have had a new constitution things have changed even that way. There's a lot more freedom of religion, and but the gospel has gone out in real power, and there's a lot of people have been saved. You're not looked down on as you were in some time in the past, because there are people, you know, like on television or even political figures and different people that have given some credence, or you know, people accept more evangelicals than they used to. There's still a lot of people that don't want anything to do with you, but it's not like it used to be. So it's I don't know if that answers your question, but.